I don't know how many times I have read this scripture or had this scripture, these scriptures read to me, but I think we all know that sometimes when we read things we have read again and again, something different will stand out to us. Something will jump out at us in a way that we have not seen. Now, I don't know that I have anything to share with you today regarding that, but we know that God has given us instructions about giving offerings, and that we are showing our thanksgiving to Him, that we are also showing our dedication to Him, to the work that He has called us to be a part of, and that we are really looking forward to the great fulfillment of what His plan is, what His purpose is. And on the holy days, it's times when we focus more on that and hopefully are even more stirred than we may be at other times. We may hear announcements about needs in different areas. Some of you have heard about the Foundation Outreach International and different programs. Some have contributed to the building fund. And sometimes we might be a little bit stirred to give, if we're able, to help different projects. But on the holy days, these are the days when we're focused more on God's plan, His purpose, that we are a part of in whatever ways we can be. And sometimes we are able to give more in offerings. I'm sure some of you, through your years in the church, my parents were baptized into the church in 1957. I was born in the church. It was right after special music one day. But you hear born in the church, that's what always came to mind. Anyway, this coming Feast of Tabernacles, I'm very excited. My wife and I will have the opportunity to visit the Brethren for the Day of Atonement in Singapore. We've never been there before. Hope we make our way back out of there afterwards. And then we will be with the Brethren in India. And we have been with the Brethren there. This will be our fourth time to be able to be with Brethren at different years going. And the very first time we went, we of course thought, this is probably the only time we'll ever be there. We're meeting Brethren that we've read about in the publications for years, and now we're meeting them. And what an unbelievable opportunity. And we'll probably never see them again until the kingdom. And then we heard that there was another need, and we basically volunteer to go almost anywhere in the world where there is a need. There are some areas that we have to be cautious about, but we will be going there to be with the Brethren again, and we're very excited about that opportunity and look forward to it tremendously. But I do want to ask a question now, because I know different people have different ways of preparing for offerings. And I'm not going to ask anyone to raise their hand. But how many of you have already prepared your offering? I'm not asking for a show of hands. How many of you are waiting to hear what I say and see if you were stimulated to give more? Okay, I'm out of here. I think many of us have experienced that at feast sites. I remember one feast site, a gentleman saying, well, I've been known to be able to draw forth the greatest offerings of the feast sites whenever I'm a guest speaker. And my first response or reaction in my mind was, well, let's see how you do this time, bud. And then I knew I had a bad attitude and I listened to him. But a lot of us do prepare ahead. We prepare for our offerings. Some prepare almost the whole year, unless things change, either positively or negatively, where their offerings have to be adjusted. Some people do prepare their offering at the last minute or the last day. They decide, how has it been going? What do I have now? And that's very understandable. I think a number of us can understand that because of different financial situations we may be in throughout our lives. And I have to tell you that when I heard the stimulation to give the best offering ever, I was very pleased to hear this story. This is from Mark Twain. Mark Twain said, it's a great mistake to get everybody ready to give money and then not pass the hat. Some years ago in Hartford, we all went to the church on a hot, sweltering night to hear the annual report of Mr. Hawley, a city missionary who went around finding the people who needed help and didn't want to ask for it. He told of the life in the cellars where poverty resided. He gave instances of the heroism and devotion of the poor. The poor are always good to each other. When a man with millions gives, we make a great deal of noise. It's noise in the wrong place, for it's the widow's mite that counts. Well, Hawley worked me up to a great state. I couldn't wait for him to get through. I had $400 in my pocket. I wanted to give that and borrow more. You could see greenbacks in every eye, but he didn't pass the plate. And it grew hotter, and we grew sleepier. My enthusiasm went down, 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 $100 at a time, till finally, when the plate came around, I stole 10 cents out of it. I will not go on much further, but we do know in Deuteronomy 16:16, we read that God has instructed us, and it was seasonal, of course, as I think we know, because of the agrarian society that they lived in. Three times a year, the males, because sometimes the females had their chores, their tasks at home, their children, and could not bring all of them to all of the feasts. So the men were required to appear before the eternal your God in the place where he chooses, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles, the three times being the three seasons, and not appearing before the Lord empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able. It doesn't say as much as he is able. It doesn't say a bit more than he is able, because he has to have faith that God will smile on him and bless him for sacrificing and taking food off his table. It doesn't say that. It says as he is able, according to the blessing of the eternal your God, which he has given to you. Let's look over at Exodus chapter 35. Exodus chapter 35, because here we see a very interesting case regarding offerings that were given at a very special time that hopefully we can relate to today. Exodus chapter 35, beginning in verse 4. And Moses spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "This is the thing which the Eternal commanded, saying, take from among you an offering to the Eternal. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as an offering to the Eternal, gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet." And he went on describing all these special items, these very wonderful items, these precious items, and they all had a purpose. Verse 10, "All who are gifted artisans among you shall come and make all that the Lord has commanded, the tabernacle, the tent." They were building the tabernacle of the Eternal. Its coverings, its clasps, its boards, its bars, its pillars, and its sockets, and on it goes. And verse 21, we read, "Then everyone came whose heart was stirred, who was inspired, who was excited about what was taking place as a part of God's plan and his building project that he was working on at that time, that they were able to be a part of in whatever way they could. And everyone whose spirit was willing, and they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, for all its service, and for the holy garments. They came, both men and women, as many as had a willing heart," it says again, "and brought earrings and nose rings." Yes, they wore nose rings back then. "Rings and necklaces, all jewelry of gold, that is, every man who made an offering of gold to the Eternal. And every man with whom was found blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen and goat's hair, red skins of rams, and badger skins, brought them. Everyone who offered an offering of silver or bronze brought the Lord's offering. And everyone with whom was found acacia wood for any work of the service brought it. All the women who were gifted artisans spun yarn with their hands and brought what they had spun of blue, purple, and scarlet, and fine linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred with wisdom spun yarns of goat's hair. The rulers brought onyx stones and the stones to be set in the ephod and on the breastplate, the spices and oil for the light, for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense. Verse 29, the children of Israel brought a freewill offering to the Eternal, all the men and women whose hearts were willing to bring material for all kinds of work, which the Eternal, by the hands of Moses, had commanded to be done. And hopefully, as I said, we can all relate to this, because we have been all called to the great work of God, which we read about in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of this age. I think I saw a number of you lip-syncing that. You've heard it before, you've read it before, and it is a part of our lives. It is a part of our lives. It is what we have been called to and what on this day we celebrate in a very special way on the Feast of Trumpets. Hopefully in this time of rejoicing our own deliverance, we're also stirred and excited for others who will be called to God's truth, to his salvation, and to his way. And by giving offerings, we're showing our excitement to be a part of this work in whatever way we can as the tabernacle of God is built upon more and more.